Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I know you know that I'm not telling the truth.
I know you know they just don't have any proof.
Embrace the deception.
Learn how to bend your worst inhibitions and to psych you out in the end.
Episode about psych. Lassie, come home. Representing stroke survivors. Boom.
Is that your impression of me?
That's you.
All right. Boom. Intro done. That's the worst impression of me.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Lauren.
And we are
the Neuro Nerds.
Yes, that was on time.
I feel pretty good about that.
Neuro Nerds.
Welcome to the Neuro Nerds. Special episode. Say it every week. Mean it every week.
This is the real, though. This is the real, real.
This is definitely a real, real special episode.
This is the true, true.
We are part of the true, true. So you hear that voice. That's not Lauren El Manzano. No, it's not, because I'm not quaking in my boots and I'm not fearing for my physical safety, even via Skype, which we've been doing. I actually have my significant better half right in front of me, Miss Felice Lizay.
Hey.
What? No. Ow. First, you do the worst impression of me ever.
I mean,
ever.
It's pretty accurate.
It is absolutely not. And then secondly, that's your intro? Hey, are you the Fonz?
I don't know.
Are you Fonzie? Are you Arthur Fonzarelli?
Pretty cool.
So also, like, you're really, really excited about this episode because this is, spoiler alert, it's about psych. We just watched Psych 2, the movie.
Lassie, come home.
Why is that a big deal? First off, I'm a big fan of psych. Felice is like obsessed
with
psych.
I'm a huge fan of psych. I didn't realize that I kind of purposely, but not on purpose, put a pineapple LED light in our studio. And that's a big part of psych.
It is. It is for you psychos. Is that what they call themselves?
Yeah, they call psych fans psychos.
So Felice, huge, massive fan. Why is this a big deal? Neuro Nerds, psych. Yeah, it's nerdy. I get it. Lassiter, one of the main characters in the show, he in real life suffered a stroke. Almost catastrophic.
Yes. You know what? I don't know exactly what kind of stroke. Let's find out.
I believe it was ischemic. I'm not 100% sure because I had a brain injury. You mean myself? I had a hemorrhagic stroke. So... 100%. So this is a very special episode, yes, because like we're covering being a stroke survivor in mainstream media, because psych has a massive following and yeah. Felice just looks some stuff up.
Yeah. No. Well, oh, no. I still didn't have the information for
no,
you.
No, she looked like she did. She didn't. Turns out she just looks really smart.
I'm
all
not
the
as
time.
Good at Lauren at just seamlessly finding information.
Yeah. She's pretty good at checking Dr. Google.
Yes. Dr. Google.
So Felice is like the psych fan. She's definitely a psycho. Not even with the psych thing. She's just psycho.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's pretty cool because I actually got to see the show, and it's a very solid portrayal of a stroke survivor.
Yes.
It is. And to be honest, a little bit more emotional than I want it to be. But I was basically forced to watch it from my beautiful significant other, who's staring at me awkwardly right now, because she was so excited. And it's such an important part of, and I know it sounds weird, but like our dynamic, because it became her show, which in turn it became not just her show, but our show. You know, it was such a beautiful thing. And it's even more emotional and impactful, too, because Lasseter had a stroke. I had a stroke. So there was that weird dynamic between the cast and also the characters that we've come to grow and love.
Yes.
You know, and there was a lot of like,
it feels like we grew up with them.
Seriously. And there's a lot of parallels between like what's going on with him and his relationships and me, myself. So I didn't want to watch it. I didn't. Not that I don't like Psych, because I love Psych. I didn't want to be in that headspace. I was in like this really, I've been very hopeful and very, very in a very good zone the last like 2 weeks. And I knew it was going to hit me in the feels. And I knew it was going to put me like in a weird place, because I knew it was going to be a pretty accurate portrayal of a stroke survivor. I didn't want to get in that headspace. So Felice every day for like 4 days was asking, do you want to see it today? And I'm like, no, I don't want to. Are you sure?
Because I watched it by myself.
She did.
And I literally watched it by myself and was like crying. But I was crying like because out of joy, because like there were moments that were really wonderful and like just about the character's development in general that were really touching. But the portrayal of Lasseter was real, because he really did. Timothy, I'm going to say his name wrong, Amundsen?
Yeah.
Amundsen. Timothy Amundsen had a stroke in real life, which I failed at figuring out what kind
terrible
of stroke it was.
Terrible.
But he did have a stroke in real life. And so him playing that character now, having had a stroke in the show, was real. Like, you could see it in his eyes. You could see it in his physicality. You could see it. And maybe somebody who's never known someone who's had a stroke may not have noticed some of those things right away. I mean, even myself, like when I first saw him, I was like, oh, he looks pretty good. But then as I kept looking, I was like, no, I can see it. He had a stroke.
I saw it immediately.
I mean, I don't want to say he didn't look good. He looked great.
No, he looked amazing. And again, it's one of those things that if you had a brain injury, you can, if somebody says something, you're like, oh no, I understand that. I understand exactly what that is. Like when we talk about neuro fatigue, when we talk about brain fog, unless you've actually experienced it, you have no idea what it feels like. You know, you can kind of almost guess, but you don't know what it feels like. So when I saw him immediately, I was like, oh, yeah. Not that it was crazy noticeable, but I noticed, because I just notice. It's the little things. It's kind of like I mentioned this before several times too. A soldier can spot another soldier in a crowd. There's something about the aura, the demeanor, just little things that a soldier can see and be like, oh, that's one of mine. I feel the same way. I can spot out somebody who's kind of had a brain injury in a crowd. It's weird. Or even on TV, I'm like, oh yeah, that person has that look. There's just a certain thing. And he had that aura. And it was, I'm just going to say, it was a lot.
I mean, for me as a partner to someone who's suffered a stroke, someone meaning Joe, I saw a lot of the things in Lasseter or Timothy Amundsen. I don't know why I want to say Amundsen. I saw a lot of the things about him that I saw in Joe, the faraway look in his eyes, the kind of like almost like he's there, but he wasn't totally there. And so like those things are not like we've seen people portray somebody in shows. Oh, they had a stroke, but it's not real.
Yeah, it's like shitty portrayals, to be honest.
Yeah, and so this was very real to see that. But what was beautiful, too, though, was the way that the characters interacted with him. They were treating him like himself. It wasn't, nobody was like tiptoeing around it or trying to like treat him differently, which I think is really important during recovery in that way. Obviously, you got to treat certain things differently, like, you know, in helping, especially with mobility issues and things like that. But there was a kind of like a normalcy they brought to it as well, of just trying to like comfort him in that he's still their friend and he's still the same person to them, which I thought was really beautiful. And that's something that we did a lot with Joe too. When people came to visit, you know, our friends were making all the same silly,
inappropriate
jokes. That really helped Joe come back. I really believe there was special moments with certain friends when they came to visit that certain things would come back to Joe because they were just acting normal with him and talking to him normally.
I think I'm walking because of that. Yeah. Know, specifically when Teo came to visit me. That was a big deal in my recovery. I wish I remembered any of it.
It was really beautiful. It was really late at night and he came through and he was just joking and making regular jokes about stuff in the hospital, like that was funny, that looked funny, like just silly stuff. And you were cracking up. And then all of a sudden you just nonchalantly moved your foot because
this
it was like
at a time where I wasn't acknowledging that I had a left side. So I had left side neglect. And like, I just did not acknowledge that there was anything on the left side, and I didn't move it for a couple of days.
Yeah, several days.
Yeah, it was like okay, is it functional? Is it going to be a thing? And just in talking to, you know, one of my closest friends, just being our normal idiot selves, and I think I relaxed enough to where I was like, oh yeah, I do have a left side, and I started to move. And without pointing it out or making a big deal, apparently everybody just went about their business and was like really internally excited.
We were excited,
but
yeah.
Externally it was just like, oh, okay, just keep this going,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and that's what I saw a lot in the show too with like Sean and Gus. That's the main characters of the show. If you don't watch the show, which you should if you don't watch it.
You absolutely should.
Well, I mean, the show's over, but you should go back and watch all the show.
You should
episodes.
Binge it. You should
it's
binge
amazing.
It. It's
like
seasons.
8 or 9 years.
Take a couple of days off of work. You know what? We're in the middle of a pandemic. Stay home.
You
isolate
got time.
Yourself,
you got time.
Watch Psych.
You got time.
But
go watch Psych.
It was a hard watch for me.
Yeah, it was, right? It hit home, but it was hopeful.
It was good. It was just...
It was real.
It was a look in his eyes.
Yeah, it was a look in his eyes. Yeah, that hit me too.
Thank you to our amazing community on Patreon for supporting this podcast.
You can support us too and get different perks and gifts depending on which Neuro Jedi tier you sign up for. For example, if you're on our Neuro Padawan $5 tier, then you're probably listening to this episode a day early before its public release.
Your support helps us grow and continue to create this podcast. Plus, a portion of the proceeds go to a different cause or individual in the brain injury survivor community each month. Sign up at patreon.com/theneuronerds. I don't have a lot of memory of the hospital. I don't. And thank goodness for most of it. I just remember every once in a while, you know, even after I got home, just looking in the mirror and just not recognizing who I saw in the reflection. I leaned out, you know, it wasn't that I was just frail. It wasn't that I had a hole in my head. And for the first time in my life, I shaved my head. It wasn't any of that. It was the look in my eyes. It was the same far away, confused, almost like you're here. He was there. He was acting his ass off because he's still a great actor. He was still pulling off the character that he's played for a decade. He still did that, but he had that look. He just had that lost look that I think a lot of us brain injury survivors have, that it's a far away look. It's hard to explain. It's hard to describe unless you've actually been through it. And I've seen it through both sides. I've seen myself in a mirror and I did not.
It's different. I saw it in your eyes.
I didn't recognize myself.
Yeah.
I didn't know who I was looking at. It was really hard. And it's the same look that I saw in his eyes when he was playing Lassiter, when he was playing the character. And I almost felt like I was playing a character of myself because I was still functional and I was still talking and I was still, you know, I don't know, being as close to me as possible, but I wasn't me at all. I was basically acting and I was pretending to be me, but I wasn't me yet. And I feel like he was basically doing the same. He was acting. He was acting like the character that he had played, but there was a lost look in his eyes and it was really hard for me to get past.
Yeah. You know what I really appreciated about him as an actor is that he allowed himself to show that to millions of people that watched that movie, because that's a very vulnerable, very private thing, you know? The fact that he's also on This Is Us and he's playing a stroke survivor on there as well.
Yeah, which is great.
They wrote that into the script.
I don't watch that show. I don't have enough emotional, mental bandwidth to watch shows like that, not just because of the stroke survivor thing, just period. It's just like a lot of drama. Hey, look, we're living through 2020. We've got enough drama. I don't need to see, you know, personal, in-depth, deep drama. I don't. It was just really difficult to see, but it was also beautiful to see. It was beautiful to see a reasonably accurate portrayal of my community. You know,
and a young stroke survivor. He's not an old man.
He's in his early 40s. Yeah. I am currently in my early 40s. I know you're thinking, Joe, clearly you're barely 21 years old. There's no way you're older than 22. I get it.
He's actually 51.
Is he 51?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he looks magnificent.
He looks great.
I thought you were saying me. I was like, oh, don't age me.
No,
I'm not 51.
No. He was in his late 40s when he had the stroke, right? Yeah, because it was a few years ago, right?
I don't remember exactly. It was a shocker too, because it's like he's such a beloved character on that show, and it's like our show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting, and it was interesting to see the dynamic between the friends, right? The cast, and then at the end, not to give
spoiler
anything
alert.
Away. You guys just watch it.
It's fine. It's not a big
this
spoiler.
Isn't like The Matrix. This isn't like Shutter Island. This isn't Sixth Sense. It's Psych. Get over it, guys.
So, spoiler alert.
at the end, when he actually reunites with his wife that he kept out of the hospital because he didn't want her to see him that week. So he kept her at arm's length. And then he was in a wheelchair because he did have his left side just decimated. And, you know, he's having trouble and he was having trouble walking.
He had trouble with his hand.
And so he was in a wheelchair and he didn't want her to see him in a wheelchair. And at the end, he got up out of the wheelchair and walked to her. It was like a really
beautiful.
It was a big moment. Now, I know it isn't the first time that he had walked. In the show, it was like, oh, it's the first time he had walked. But I know he had that moment.
We had that moment with you, you know? We all have that moment going through a stroke recovery.
I know he had that moment where you go from sitting down or using a cane or wheelchair, whatever it is, to standing up and taking your first steps. And he's a great actor. You know, he was a really good actor. It came across and it was very emotional to see.
I'm keeping myself together for Joe, but I lost it during that part. Especially when I watched it by myself. I remember that being the partner side of that when Joe first was able to walk again. And it's like the most joyful though feeling too, because it's like, yes. What he portrayed so beautifully was also being a strong character, like being a strong person beforehand, before the stroke, and then having to ask for help and be able to release any feelings of shame, or which you shouldn't have, but
you do, you know, you have it all the time.
I shouldn't say you shouldn't have. I just mean that there's no need for that, but obviously people feel the way they feel.
No, you're right. You shouldn't feel that way. You should just feel, you know, you shouldn't have that guilt. You shouldn't have that stress, but we do. All of us do. We do. We have that shame. We have that stress. We have that fear all the time. It was difficult to see, but it was also great to see. It was great to see that part of recovery. And then he just didn't want to be that weak, frail, broken person. And then he also had that thing where it's like, well, why would my significant other want that?
And that's the thing, like, of course we want, like, you felt like, I just saw something on Instagram today or yesterday, I don't know, and it was a husband and wife, and the wife was severely burned, and they had a picture of them before she was burned. She was really, you know, beautiful, and then after she was burned, I mean, it was bad. Her whole body was, face, arms, everything. And the husband said, I didn't fall in love with her looks, I fell in love with her soul. And so, you know, like, that's when you have a real, you know, bond with your partner. Those superficial things are not the part that you are there for. You know, you're there for their companionship and their soul and the person that they are and the way they make you feel, and, you know, that friendship and that love. And so I also love that they did show that he didn't let her come at first. It wasn't, because I was kind of thinking that through the whole,
like, why wasn't she there?
Like, where is Marlo? That's his wife on the show. Yes, I know everybody's. Marlo? I know everybody's characters. She's played by Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, the real Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Well, the original. Well, yes. The actress who played the original.
The real Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You know, Chrissy Swanson.
That's something that this show does, and they do it in the movies too, is they always cast people that are from like 90s and 80s, like iconic TV shows or movies, or just iconic 90s, 80s people, figures. So like, yeah, Buffy the Vampire Slayer is his wife.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment, because she was just basically like, yeah, like, what? There isn't a choice. There wasn't a...
Mm-hmm. There isn't.
It's annoying.
I know. But this is...
Well, no, because I understand it, you know? Like, yeah. I still don't know why you stuck around.
Because I love you. I love you. That's what partnership is about, you know? We're here for each other.
It was so hard, you know, because I was physically and mentally a shell of what I was. I couldn't walk, had a giant hole in my head. I was afraid of everything. I couldn't function. And, you know, you were there telling me, you know, does it feel better to feel bad, or does it feel better to feel good? Mm-hmm. That this was a blessing. I didn't understand that, you know? It took me forever, but I understand it 100% now. I didn't at the time, and I just didn't understand
everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It was hard to see. It was hard to see.
Yeah.
It was really not. And again, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to affect me this way. And that's why I kept telling you, I'm not ready to be in that headspace until you literally forced me.
But it was beautiful, wasn't it?
It was. So and I knew even on day one, when you were like, we should watch this. And I was like, if I watch this, I'm going to break. I'm just going to break. And it took me a few days. I was going to break no matter what. You know, I just wanted to enjoy that happy-go-lucky feeling that I had for a few more days.
We have a Stella in here over here licking Joe down.
Well, that sounded awkward. she's doing her job.
Yes,
I'm a little amped, so she's right at my feet, and she's taking care of me best I can make sure my blood pressure doesn't spike, because she's a rock star dog. And there was a dog representation in the show too.
Because Stella is Joe's service animal, and they brought in Morrissey immediately. The nurse was like, "You can't have." And the nurse is played by what's her name?
Sarah Chalk from Scrubs.
Scrubs and Roseanne, and
New Becky.
And they also had a reference to those to Scrubs, of course, because that's what they do on that show.
And she's also Beth from Rick and Morty.
Oh yeah, that's double right. Nerdum. So she comes in and goes, "Oh, you can't have dogs in here." And they go, "Oh, Morrissey is a service animal." And they had like a red shirt.
Vests that they like duct taped and
it was
Theraflu
and they put therapy
they added it's hilarious. It's really just the show. It's so good. It's very slapstick. It's just a good show. Everybody should watch it, and specifically watch Psych 2 the movie Lassie Come Home, because it's a beautiful moment, you know, for our community. It really is. I actually felt like, wow, they got a lot of that right. They got a lot of that right with the relationships. Now, this is like the positive side. There's a lot of negative side that it could have been super negative, where like his wife was like, "Ew, you're gross." And then like she ran away. Sadly, that's happened a lot, you know, and it's really, really sad. And it's really gross, but it's a reality for a lot of people. So I'm really happy that they showed that. It was very touching to me. It was very emotional for me. It's like a similar thing, you know. I didn't want, it was just a lot.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. As a brain injury or a stroke survivor like myself, it's hard for me to get through reading books due to my injury. But with Audible, I can now enjoy as many books as I want just by listening. Thanks to Audible, I can listen to stroke survivor Kavita Bossi's book, Room 23. Once it popped up on Audible, I immediately put it on my wish list. Read Kavita's book with us. That's right, the Neuro Nerds have a book club. What a great way for our brain injury survivor community to read books together.
And even if you don't want to read the book we're reading, with this free trial, you can select any book of your choice for free. Go to audibletrial.com/theneuronerd.
Boom!
Boom!
Neuro Nerds.
I liked the way that they showed his inner battle. His inner coping mechanism, which was to talk to his dad.
Yeah.
I really liked that, because his dad in the show, the character, he passed away suddenly. And so he kind of was dealing with that, being that him, you know, his mortality, and if he had passed away, because he has a child, and wanting to be there for them. And so his dad was kind of like in his mind coming in like kind of like a ghost, but was
like a guardian angel,
like a guardian actually. Yeah, and was guiding him to get through it and get through, you know, the challenges that he had to get through, because it's a murder mystery show. I don't know if you guys realize it's a comedy, but it's a murder mystery show.
Yeah.
So there's always a murder that they're dealing with, there's always a bad guy that they're dealing with. So he had to deal with the battle in real life to save his life, but then he dealt with it internally with his dad's memory in his mind, kind of coaching him to fight through it. And that moment when he said, "I'm tired, Pops," like there was a moment where he just said, "I just want to take a nap, I'm just tired."
You know what's crazy? I felt that so hard too, because recovery is hard.
Yeah.
Fuck, recovery is so hard.
Sometimes you just want to say, "I'm tired."
I was in the hospital and I wasn't even doing a whole lot. I don't remember. I probably at most 10%, and that's being very generous, of my memory of the hospital. I remember some of the stuff, like just certain days, like having to get up to either stretch, or I couldn't shower by myself. That sounds weird and gross.
You had about a month of sponge bath.
It was it sponge? I don't remember that. I remember, here's what's crazy about the showers. I remember I had like an older nurse, this woman, and she would like basically force me out of bed because I didn't want to get out of bed. Yeah, I was depressed. Yeah, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I was so tired. I was so frail. I was so weak. And she would help me into the shower. I would sit down on a chair because I couldn't stand because I was weak. And then I would just be there, and she would like, she would say, cover up. And I would literally cover up my goods. And then she would turn on the water and just like leave me to bathe myself. It was so weird.
That was way later on, though. That was your rehab.
I hated it. Yeah. I hated it, you know? And I just remember certain days, like, I didn't want to do anything. I felt what he was saying when he said, I'm tired. I would wake up exhausted because I was still having the PTSD freakouts at night. And I was so, so tired. I don't think I've ever been so tired in my life. My first month or two of recovery, I was so tired. I just couldn't do anything. I didn't even know what was what. I didn't know anything. I don't remember. It was the definition of radical acceptance. I was just doing these things because that's just what I was doing. And I just remember several times, I'm so tired. I think I even said it to the nurses. I'm so tired. I think I'm just going to sleep. I think I said that more times than probably were not even necessary. Just I just said it all the time. I'm so tired. So I know he was drugged in the show. Spoiler alert, whatever, watch the show. He just kept saying, Pa, I'm so tired.
And it was really good that they portrayed it that way instead of like, I feel like the Hollywood way, if this was just like written in for him to have a stroke and it wasn't because he actually had a stroke, it would have been like, yeah, he just, you know, beat the bad guy and won, and he just lifted himself up and even walked.
Yeah, he magically got up and ran away.
Yeah, but this was not like that. This was like, there was definitely, I'm trying not to give it away, but there was definitely like a aha moment where he was able to get away or save himself, but it was in a way that was like a way that he could do it, still having had a stroke.
He's been dead the whole time. No, it's not The Sixth Sense.
No.
By the way, watch Sixth Sense. That's
oh my gosh, spoiler alert.
Whatever, if you haven't seen it, too late. It's been out for years.
I'm so sorry.
It's one of the greatest. Watch it.
I'm so sorry, guys.
it was really good. It's just that there was a few things specifically. It was that. It was the, I'm so tired. It was that hit me. It was that look in his eyes. It was just that you're here, but you're so far away. It was just that look that you can't mimic that look. You can't. I'm sorry. As great as an actor as you are, Daniel Day-Lewis, I'm sorry, can't do it.
Maybe Daniel Day-Lewis.
He might be able to. He might
he can
be able
do
to.
Almost, he could probably play, I don't know, think of something that's unimaginable.
But just, you can see it, you can see it in his eyes that he has that, you know, and he had a little bit of the left side droop, and it was a lot. It was a lot of emotions, and I'm a very emotional dude. You know this. I'm tired of crying on my show, damn it.
But I really want to commend Timothy Amundsen. I got his last name that time.
Just call him Amon.
I want to really commend him for putting himself out there like that. Like, I really appreciate that. Now, I would like to segue into some fun stuff about Psych, because Psych also is a big nerdy show.
It is a very, very, if you grew up in the 80s or the 90s, you'll absolutely love all of the
you
references.
You just get giddy at some of the references because you're like, really? How did you know that? I remember one time he referenced The Boy Who Could Fly. And I just want to say, there are many of you out there who are hearing this and going, what is she talking about? There's some of you who are going, oh my gosh, The Boy Who Could Fly. I remember that. It was this really obscure, random movie in the 80s. And he just mentioned it in one of the episodes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention some of my favorite themed episodes. And then maybe, I don't know, Joe, if you have some favorite themed episodes, like the Psycho episode.
I'll tell you, hands down, the greatest episode they've ever done is the Clue episode.
Oh yeah, the Clue episode is so good, because the thing about it is when we say the Clue episode, the Psycho episode, not all the episodes are themed, but as they kept progressing through the seasons, they had certain episodes that they would do like themes for. And so the Clue episode, they brilliant. Actually had actors from the movie Clue.
They had several actors, including Christopher Lloyd, yep. which was great. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Tim Curry, but I think Tim Curry, he had a stroke himself.
Oh.
Yeah, and his was really, really bad. But they had several of the other characters, including Martin Mull. It's really, really good. And to me, the funniest episode they've ever done. Mm-hmm. Like, just some of the references, some of the things
hilarious.
That it's so
and
good.
He even did the run like Tim Curry where he ran around the house. Like
in Clue.
Yeah, in Clue. Like
oh,
in Clue.
If you guys haven't seen Clue,
you should
first off,
definitely
how dare
it.
You? Secondly, stop listening. No, finish listening.
Finish listening.
And then
go watch
Clue.
Clue.
It's brilliant. I can't even describe it. It's so good.
Yep. They had a horror movie episode where they like made fun of all the horror movie references from like Friday the 13th.
Right. All the horror movie tropes, which yeah. is really funny. But come on, the Clue episode, because it has Clithby.
Yeah.
Anybody who's seen Psych and seen that episode?
You know what we're
You're
talking
welcome.
About. And then also, like I said, the Psycho one was good. They showed different scenes. They reenacted different famous scenes from different Alfred Hitchcock movies.
Yeah.
And then that's funny because, you know, they call the fans of Psych psychos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
Psycho.
Yeah. You're a psycho for sure. Has nothing to do with liking Psych. Boom. Nailed it.
It's just a really good show. It's a good show about good friendships. It shows about, you know, lying about psychic abilities.
So,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So my show is Seinfeld. I'm a Seinfeld guy. It's perfect. It's chef's kiss. Mwah! It's the perfect show for me. For Felice, it's Psych. This is like 100% her show. And I get it. I would love for this show to be my show. It's not. It's hers, you know, and she'll have it on in the background. She'll recite lines. It's yeah, this is 100% her nerdom.
It's the best.
Thanks to our sponsor, Avid Technology, for providing us with the tools, or should I say pro tools, to record, edit, and mix our podcast and get our message out clearly to the world.
Try Avid first to start recording today for free at avid.com/pro-tools.
Yay.
Yay. So when they decided to, well, I think not just decided, I think they had to do it. Like they did one movie follow up after the show ended, and now this was the second one. And I'm just so glad that they decided to incorporate Timothy Amundsen's, I don't know why.
Timothy Almond Butter?
Almond
right?
Butter, no. Timothy Amundsen's real life event that happened to him right. with the stroke and incorporating that to show. And I just think it's just so good. So that people, I think it just really showed people in, through comedy and through, you know, mystery and murder.
Yeah. what stroke
recovery is.
Yeah, I appreciate as close to, again, accurate representation of having a stroke and recovering from a stroke is. They even touched on, well, he had a catastrophic stroke. Is he thinking right?
Right. That
part.
They
went
part,
into the insanity.
Part.
And that part, again, messes with me because I yeah. think we all at some point think we're going a little bit crazy.
Yes.
And me, several times through my recovery, I'm like, no, I did that. And then like the reality is, no, you didn't at all.
Yeah.
And it makes you immediately feel like you're crazy. You know, not like, oh, well, it makes you feel insane. And they touched on that too. And again, that was, here's how emotional some of the other stuff was. That didn't bug me as much.
Really?
And that should
yeah.
really bother me.
Yeah.
But that's how impactful the other stuff was.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that I'm so glad you brought that up because that was a big part of it too. The whole like, he was thinking, am I remembering things right? Am I not? And people were even using that to their advantage of saying, oh, he's just imagining
right.
it.
Well, he had a brain injury.
And
so
he's
obviously
just imagining
he's not thinking
it.
That the right way.
But no, he was sharp on his detective skills.
He was.
So he basically had a stroke and then solved a mystery.
He's basically James Bond / Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Right?
Basically.
That's how I describe myself every day of my recovery.
I mean, obviously, he had a stroke in real life, so that's the big driving factor of why they wrote that into the movie and made the whole movie. The whole movie was about that.
It was.
The whole movie was centered on him and having had a stroke and his recovery. But I think that it was so good to see a strong character go through that. And then his journey well, out of it, like his,
show,
it's like the hero's journey
to show true strength.
Yeah,
you
true
know,
strength,
and
yeah.
and I still struggle with that, where I try to put on airs and I try, you know, I present really well, and I don't want people to see my deficits. I don't want them to see me struggle because I still see that for some weird reason, even though I know it's not that. I still see that as weakness, even though somebody can have the exact same thing, and I'm looking at that, I'm like, you know what? That is the strongest person I've seen. That's such an incredible thing that they're doing. It shows such strength. But for me, I'm like, oh, you weak bastard. Like, it's just the negative talk for myself in particular, you know, and I'm trying to get past that. Slowly but surely, I'm getting there. Just like the rest of us, I'm a work in progress.
You got to be kind to ourselves. As kind as we are to others, we got to be kind to ourselves.
I'm working on it. I'm working on taking the oxygen for myself to make sure that I'm functional enough for everybody else, as opposed to giving the oxygen to everybody else and then passing out and dying myself. It's hard. It's not easy, you know, but... Again, everybody should go see that. It's a really good portrayal. The one thing I didn't like is apparently everybody has strokes in that one place. That's ridiculous.
Oh, that was the other thing. You keep bringing up other things that I forgot. Like, really, that movie was like literally an ode to stroke recovery. Because literally, like the place that he was, mostly all the patients recovering at the medical facility, he was at a really fancy medical facility.
Fancy, huh? Oh, and speaking of like, you know, 80s and 90s icons, Dwayne Wayne from A Different World was one of the people that had a stroke in that hospital thing.
And then one of the bad guys also had a stroke. Well, he wasn't like a bad guy, but he was an older guy and he had a stroke and he had recovered. And it was interesting. They were talking about how that character, he used to be like a mob's guy, a mob guy. And then his son was upset that once after he had the stroke, he changed whole life.
He became kind.
He became kind. He didn't want to do bad things anymore. And that's kind of like what, when I said to Joe, like, that this is a blessing in disguise. Not that Joe was not was a mobster.
I was a Russian mobster like that guy.
But there was things that Joe was doing before his stroke that were not beneficial to himself. Like you were not happy.
I wasn't. I was a very miserable. I was a very anxious. I was a very depressed person that never really lived. I can honestly say that I did not live life the first 30 plus years, 30 some odd years of my life. I didn't. I survived. All I did was survive. And that's not living. Survival is not living. Survival is survival.
We want to thrive.
And I've been in survival mode since I think it was, talking to my therapist, it was like 6 or 7 years old. I've been in survival mode. That's not okay. The stroke was a wake-up call. It allowed me to become Joe 2.0, the best version of myself, the most functional version of myself, which is, I think, a beautiful thing. So as crazy as all this stuff is, I wouldn't trade it for anything because I actually like who I am right now. You know, I like what I'm becoming and I like the fact that I'm able to help people find their way, that I wish I would have had somebody to help guide me in that way. You know?
Yeah, I think that honestly, take care of yourself out there. Don't let yourself have a stroke if it's preventable, like Joe's was
like
preventable.
Like 80% of all strokes out there, preventable.
But sometimes if anything happens in your life that you're not happy about, whether it be in a medical emergency or just a life event,
it's life.
I think that the biggest thing to do is to try to always see, what is the lesson? What am I supposed to learn from this experience? And that's what Joe really did after his stroke. And like before the stroke, Joe would never meditate. He was like, not everybody can meditate.
I couldn't. I honestly couldn't because, again, being a recovering Catholic, whenever things got quiet in my head or around me, I would go very dark and I would go immediately to the darkest place. If you guys have seen Watchmen, there's a scene where Dr. Manhattan is trying to show the Silk Spectre. Like, she's like, well, show me. And he's like, no, it's not going to work. And she's like, ah. And he's like showing her this thing from her past, like open her eyes to some repressed memories. And it got really dark. And he told her, and she said, what happened? He says, and you wonder why I withhold things from you. You go to dark places. That's exactly how I feel. I would just go to like the worst places. Now I have this, it's not a filter. I just have this thing where, yes, these things creep up and it's like, oh, wow, that's, I don't like that.
You choose what you decide to focus on.
Yeah, I want to keep in a good energy. I want to keep in a good mindset. And I want to keep those good vibrations going. So I'm like, no, that's negative. That's not really going to benefit me in any way. I don't like that. That held me down. That didn't move me forward. So I focus on the things that are actually going to get me to where I want to be, you know, and it's helped me. I've meditated basically every single day since I've been out of the hospital.
And this is the man who said he couldn't.
He couldn't meditate for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I would try. I just couldn't do it. And I just wasn't in a mental place to be able to take a step back and realize, wow, this could actually save your life. Meditation has actually helped me. It's saved a huge chunk of my life. It has. It's helped me change the way that I think, the way that I process, the way that I function.
Keeps your blood pressure down.
It does.
You decide what affects your anxiety and your stress, and that's really, really important. And Stella is down there devouring your foot.
She's literally licking my foot right now. Because apparently I'm delicious. I mean, I get that. I like to think that I taste like arroz con gandules. I do. You're Puerto Rican, so yeah. It was interesting. It was a lot. It was emotionally overwhelming, and I maintained as much as I could. But clearly, I'm not over it because I cried like several times on this episode. Damn it.
I cried too.
Well, I'm a grown ass man.
I'm just trying to keep it together because two of us crying, Stella won't know what to do with herself.
No, she won't. She'll lose her mind. And you know what's funny? So my dog, her job is to take care of me. When like I'm getting out of hand, when I'm over emotional, when I'm having a night terror, whatever it is, she comes and she protects me because she is a superhero, right? Every once in a while at night, she'll start crying in her sleep. And my first thought is, oh my God, I think I broke my dog. I think I broke my dog. You know, it's because like that negative energy kind of has to go somewhere. And she's like sucking it all in. I feel really bad. See, Enneagram. I'm a helper. I want to even help my dog whose job, who's 100% like of her job is to help me. And all I want to do is help her.
At least she doesn't like go out and find hands and stuff in fields.
Spoiler alert.
Go watch the Psych Lassie Come Home movie. It's really good.
You should watch it just because it's hilarious. Like the show Psych is great. It's a great representation of a stroke for our community.
Stroke recovery.
It really is. It's really solid. Again, it's not perfect. It's the closest thing that I've seen in any of these TV shows or movies, the portrayal of a stroke survivor. So I really like it, and I think everybody should take a look. Oh, you can watch it for free on Peacock.
I love that they didn't make us have to pay or watch commercials.
Oh, that would be bullshit.
You just watch commercials at the beginning, and then you're done. You just watch the show.
Yeah, a.k.a. you have the commercials run while you go to the restroom or make a snack, and then you come back, and you're like, oh, I'm just going to watch a movie.
Just watch the whole thing. You don't have to have commercials at all in the middle.
If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. Your reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you.
Find us by searching for the NeuroNerds on the Apple Podcast app today.
But yeah, no, it was so good. Watch it. I really look forward to seeing what they do with future, because I think they're planning on doing more movies. So now it's kind of like the show is over, but now like every couple of years you get to see a movie with the characters. And
it's kind of like what they did with Toy Story, where randomly they'll be like, oh, there's like a 15-minute little mini movie for Halloween.
It's like what they did with Sex and the City, but better.
Why would you bring up Sex and the City? Nobody watches that. Nobody.
No, the show. Okay, so I watched the show, but once they went into the movies... It went all over the place.
It's awful.
It was awful. And yeah.
No. I'm not even talking about the movies. I'm talking about the show. Awful. Terrible. Why would you watch that?
I mean, I enjoyed the show.
You know what's even better than that? Have you ever seen Paint Dry? Oh, so entertaining.
But it is kind of an unrealistic, not kind of, it's a definite unrealistic depiction of New York, living in New York. Come on. Unless you're uber rich in New York, nobody lives like that.
If you want to see an accurate portrayal, watch Seinfeld.
No, if you want to see an accurate portrayal, watch Broad City. I love to talk about another show that I love. I love Broad City, but we could just go on about the shows that Felice loves. Also, Parks and Rec.
I knew it.
Also, Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek's really
funny.
Oh my
gosh.
Really funny.
But definitely watch that movie. Stroke survivor or not, there's something for everybody in that, but definitely for
the brain injury community. Definitely.
Whoa, why are we saying everything in sync today?
If you would be like Justin Timberlake, I'd be like Joey Fat One, right? If we were in sync.
I got that right away, but I felt like so many people that went over their head at first. They're like, wait, what?
Joey Fat One? Wait, are you calling him a fat one because he's a fat one? No, his name's Fatone, but if you separate it, it's Fat One. Huh? Come on, that's funny. It's definitely worth a watch. Everybody should watch. And again, it's for free on Peacock. All you have to do is download the app.
Boom.
Because that's the world we live in right now.
We'll put a link in the show notes.
How dare you take my boom, first and foremost. Secondly, how dare you? Third and fourthly, how dare you?
Third and fourthly, how dare you?
That's the worst portrayal of me.
That's the worst portrayal of, oh my God. Sorry, is that a good portrayal of you?
I was about to call the hospital. Are you okay? I don't understand what's happening. This is like I love how at some point in almost every episode that Lauren and I do, and you've kept the tradition going, we devolve.
Yes, we're devolving right
now. This is devolving, but it was it's pretty good.
Take us home, Lassie.
I don't feel like crying anymore, which is good. I actually feel like crying because that's apparently what my significant other thinks I sound like. That is the true tragedy of stroke.
It's the true.
It is the true. So definitely give it a look. It's pretty awesome. Felice loves that show. And if you don't watch it, she's going to beat me.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Oh, damn. damn.
Ah, no, I'm just kidding.
Help me. Why is it that I physically fear all of the women in my life? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
You a little bit less, because Lauren could like legit murder me.
Hey, I got a black belt in Taekwondo, so you are surrounded around ass-kicking women.
Don't make me tell the people the first time you try to show off your Taekwondo-ness, you hit the corner of the door and was writhing in pain on the floor.
That's because
she got beat, you know, by what? A door.
Joe is just exaggerating and telling the story all wrong.
Stop that.
And he's not going to allow me to.
Stop that. I am not exaggerating in one bit. One in the least.
U.S. Open gold medalist.
That's great.
Boom.
You know what would have beaten you?
Boom.
A door frame.
Boom.
That would have beaten you. She had like the sidekick and her ankle, the bone part of her foot hit it, and she was literally writhing in pain
like
on the floor.
I like how he's just diminishing. He doesn't even want to give me credit right now.
Hey, Junior Olympics,
I
give you all the credit in the world. You were fighting people. That's great. Do you want to know what your kryptonite is? Door frames.
Okay.
Just pointing that out.
Whatevs.
On that weird note, and I'm now going to hide behind a door frame because I know that's the one and only thing that can stop Felice's big ass foot.
Whatevs, Joe. Whatevs.
But yeah, an oddly emotional episode. I knew it was going to be this. I wasn't 100% prepared mentally for this. But hey, it is what it is. And if nothing, I'm honest, right?
Yeah.
I'm being the true.
The true.
Shit.
Nobody understands what we're saying, really.
No, hey, the Rick and Morty fans get it.
Ricky.
It's 100% from Rick and Morty.
No, but I mean, like, didn't they said that because of Atlas?
Cloud Atlas. That god-awful movie that I saw 2 hours worth, and I was only halfway through. It's ridiculous. It's like the longest movie ever. It's so dumb. Anyway.
Oh, I wanted to also say, shout out to James Rode Rodriguez.
Yes.
A.K.A. just James Rodriguez. Rody. The star of, he's Sean, the son. And so he...
Come on, son.
And I just love that he changed his name back to his Latino roots, because he had changed his name to just James Rode to fit into Hollywood.
Yeah.
And
now Hollywood's changing. It's finally evolving.
Yes. And this movie was the first time that he had his name listed as James Rode Rodriguez with his real last name. So, yes, I love it. Anyway, I just had to say that because I'm...
Yeah. Suck it, old Hollywood.
Latinx.
The former James Rode, that now the current James Rodriguez, mm-hmm. was my pick for The Flash.
Yes.
When you watch Psych,
listen,
you'll understand what I'm saying. Yes, he's a little fat dude now.
No, he's not. He's getting that NBC money and he looking good.
He looks good. If you look at like the first season of Psych and then you get like his mannerisms, you get his sense of humor, you're like, that's the Flash.
Mm-hmm.
That's the dude.
So, James, if you're listening to this episode, which we really hope you are, so that you'll come on the show and make me all my dreams come true. I really
apparently I would like you, James, formerly Rody, now Rodriguez, to make my girlfriend's dreams come true.
Yes, come on our show along with Timothy Amundsen so we can have a follow-up episode and talk about...
Yeah, so we could kidnap you and recovery. Keep you in our... No.
No.
No. No. We're not.
It'll probably be remote
people.
With COVID pandemic. But yeah.
Yeah, just tell us where you live.
No. And once again, we digress.
So this has been awesome. It's always a pleasure to, you know, sit across from Felice. It's never a pleasure to start crying in front of my girlfriend on my podcast. But whatever, you know, honesty, right? This is all part of the hero's journey. The peaks, the valleys. I just want more peaks and less valleys. I think we're all there now, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I appreciate you being on the episode and making me cry and forcing me to see a show I did not want to see because I didn't want to cry.
But aren't you glad that I
am. I'm very happy. I'm very excited that it happened. Make sure if you're taking a picture, go from the waist up because I'm not wearing pants. Full disclosure, people, Joe doesn't wear pants when he's at home. So that being said, thank you, Felice. I really appreciate you being on the show. And thank you just for being here. Just like with me. Yeah, I really don't know why you stood.
Because I love you. Because I love you. That is what partnership is about.
Every reason to go and you stood and just thank you.
We all,
I love you.
I love you too.
I appreciate you dealing with my idiocy all the time because there's plenty of that to go around. That being said, another emotion. Damn it. Tears, emotions. Why can't I just be a sociopath? That's it. I'm going to start like pushing old people down steps. Oh, I'm going to start drowning rabbits.
No. I'm going to disclaimer. Joe will not be doing any of those things.
I will in my head. No, even that's weird.
No.
So yeah. So I just want to point out, where can the people find you, Felice?
At Felice Lizé.
Spell it. They don't know how to spell it.
F-E-L-I-C-E-L-A-Z-A-E. It'll be in the show notes.
It will be in
the show notes. It's
always
in the show notes.
Always in the show notes. Definitely check out the show notes. Felice works really hard on most
of them. Shout out to the show notes.
Yeah. Shout out to the show notes. And yeah, we appreciate that. Damn emotions, man. I'm exhausted. So you can follow her at Felice Lizé. And you can also check out our website at FeliceLizé.com.
Well, boom! It's just FeliceLizé.com.
That's what I said. I just said FeliceLizé.com.
You said you could check out her website at FeliceLizé.com.
Oh, just, not at with the
www.
You can go to Felice Lizé.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying?
And you can check out Joe at JoeSoRocks.com.
You can follow me at JoeSoRocks.com. That's my blog. And read about me and all of you amazing survivor stories.
Which we're going to be putting more You So Rock features on there.
Oh, I hope so. I have so many ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah, so then on the socials, you could follow Lauren at Lauren L. Manzano on Instagram. You can follow me at Joe So Rocks everywhere. You can follow the Neuro Nerds at everywhere. On this really...
Well, at the Neuro Nerds, not at everywhere.
Well, yeah. Well, on Twitter, right?
But it's at the Neuro Nerds. It's not at everywhere.
At the NeuroNerds on Twitter.
Can you imagine somebody goes and looks up everywhere? And they're like, wait, this is not the NeuroNerds.
I say at everywhere. Because it's like on Facebook, at Joe So Rocks, at the NeuroNerds. On Instagram, at Joe So Rocks, at the NeuroNerds. You know what I'm saying? You know what's great? Saying stuff and then explaining it immediately. You guys get it. So on that really weird, we explain a lot more. Joe's clearly not wearing pants in the video Felice is taking right now. On that odd, strange note, these NeuroNerds are out.
Out.
Yeah, you gotta hit it at the same time.
Okay.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Out.
And then we got it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.